And we are live once again. It is the Field of 68 Best Bets podcast and Best Bets live stream. My name is Rob Doster. That is the one and only Jeff Goodman that you see right next to me. Jeffrey, how are you doing on this lovely, lovely Wednesday of championship?
I'm doing good. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to this big Duke Louisville tilt that we'll talk about. Good games last night. I wish we had it where we had two of those four championship games were tonight. Like, I don't understand why they had four championship games last night and tonight. There's not a whole lot of like
you really need me to explain it to you?
I do, yes.
Because what channel were the championship games on last night?
ESPN and ESPN2 and CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, and what channel is the ACC tournament on and the Big Ten tournament on?
The ACC tournament? You cannot watch the ACC tournament. That's what channel it's on.
The Big 12 network, what channel is it? Or the Big 12 tournament, what channel is it? Like, that's why.
Yeah, well, they have all these great. Big games. That's great. What would you rather watch? Kansas State TCU or a championship game of a mid-major?
That's fine, but why would you, if you don't have any games on a Tuesday night or a Monday night, why would you put a bunch of championship games up against games against big conference teams?
Because these big conference teams suck. They suck. They know they're like 7, 10, and 8 times. They suck.
Jeff, you need something on Tuesday night. You need to fill that time slot.
So I'm saying.
Okay. I'm not. No.
I don't want four of them. What I'm saying is I don't want four of them last night. Okay. I want two of them last night. I want two of them tonight so I can watch those games and really watch all of them. That's all I'm saying. I couldn't watch them all last night.
All right. Oh, okay. So Gonzaga was tested by BYU. I think that was the biggest takeaway from last night's action. How worried are you about this Gonzaga team? How worried are you about the moving forward? Was this just the kind of performance that they needed to be able to compete? Like, what's your takeaways here?
I mean, listen, my takeaway this year is that Gonzaga was unbelievable early, and we don't know how good they are today. We know they're talented. We know they're really good, but are they that much better than everybody else today? I say no. I say the gap has closed a little bit. That's all I'll say is, like, I think some of these other teams have closed the gap a little bit. And when I watch Gonzaga and their talent, and obviously, they're terrific. Jalen Suggs is a top three pick, I think. I think he's going to go third, could go second. I think Corey Kispert's a lottery pick, somewhere in that 10 to 20 range. Drew Timmy is an unbelievable player. They have three potential All-Americans on their roster. Joel Ayayi is like just a great piece, a great guy, unbelievable rebounding guard, does whatever you need. And then Nembhard is just kind of that second that you and I have talked about, that second point guard. So I love how they're constructed. But when I look at them, Rob, do you say to yourself, they're that much more talented than everybody else? And their bench isn't exactly like blow you away right now. They're not the deepest team in the world. So when you look at them compared to Baylor or even when Michigan was playing well or Illinois, do you say like those teams have no shot of beating Gonzaga?
No, I don't. I think everybody has a shot at the top of the some of these leagues. I do think that Gonzaga is very clearly the most talented team and the best team in college basketball this season. But I think that there are things that you can exploit on their roster. For starters, we saw it last night what BYU did in the first half. If you could space them out, if you can force Drew Timmy to have to guard in space, and you can force them to have to make a decision on whether or not they're going to help at the rim or defend a three-point shooter like on the weak side, that's when they get into trouble because they don't really have any rim protection with Drew Timmy in there. With him playing on the perimeter, then it becomes like very, very wide open in the paint. They can get spread out. They can get beaten off the dribble. They don't have great perimeter defenders. The other part of it is that they can get kind of stuck in the mud in the half court. Like, if you allow them to get in transition, they are lethal. They're basically the Showtime Lakers of the WCC. But if you can get them to play in the half court and have to force Jalen Suggs to have to go against a set defense and have to force Drew Timmy to have to deal with maybe a double team and force defenses to make a decision on what they're going to do with Joel Ayayi, you can take advantage of that as well. So I do think that there are places where you can kind of create some problems for Gonzaga. And I thought BYU did a very, very good job of that in the first half. And you know, I don't think we're ever going to see someone play a better half of basketball than BYU did in the first half against Gonzaga. That is a top 25 team in America. That is a team at top 20 on KenPom. That is a team that is going to end up being what, like a 6 or a 7 seed, maybe an 8 seed in the NCAA tournament this year. Yep. And they played a perfect half of basketball, and they still lost by 10 to Gonzaga. Like they're awesome. And I understand what the narrative is, and I understand what casual fans are going to think about that program and that team. But they're really, really good. That was to me, that was a very, very, very impressive performance yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, listen, to me again, Jalen Suggs just showed he could turn it on kind of whenever he wants, and. Man, he's just so quick. His anticipation, like you forget, because we saw it so often early in the season because they were playing big-time games. And I'm not going to lie, like I've seen halves for the most part. I haven't seen that many full games at Gonzaga because it hasn't really been warranted. But, man, just watching him, you just forget how much fun he is to watch. And I feel bad because, like, feel like the country didn't get a chance to see Jalen Suggs, and I hope to hell he's a really good NCAA tournament because he is a special player. Like, I'm not saying I take him number one. I think I take him number two. I do. I think it's a guards game, and I think I would take him over Evan Mobley. I think I would take – again, it depends on the team. And obviously, and we'll get into this plenty after the season ends when the draft is approaching and once we see the lottery and all that, but – If everything's equal, I'm taking Cade 1 and I'm taking Jalen Suggs 2. I just, at that position, I just think he's special.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to disagree. The thing about this year's draft is that you can make a legitimate argument for any one of the five best prospects, including the three you mentioned plus Jalen.
Not Kuminga. Not Kuminga to me. I don't think Kuminga's in that class. I don't. I mean, I've seen him enough. I've watched some.
No, I hear you, but a guy with that kind of athleticism and that kind of size and that kind of ability to score on the perimeter is someone that you're going to take a shot on, and someone that has a chance to be very, very, very good. And while
he's five.
Yeah, I mean, you can make that argument. You can make the argument that he should be top three, and that's the thing about this draft class is that the top five are as good as any top five that we've seen in, I don't know, at least since I've been doing this, probably in a decade
recent
or so.
Recent memory.
So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the bubble. Where do you stand on some of these teams? We have Syracuse playing today. Are they going to have to win to get in? Do they have to beat NC State to get in?
Yes, they have to win. Lose this game, Rob. They cannot lose this. This is a must-win game for the Bayhawks, period. And Buddy needs to make some shots here. And yeah, I think they have to win this game to get in the NCAA tournament. And even getting – like winning this game, I don't know if it puts them in. But, I've always said, like, if it's close. And I just think the committee, they're going to be able to kind of take some liberties this year. And you can justify things a lot easier this year with the pandemic and not playing a full – non-conference schedule and whatnot. I think if Syracuse wins this game, I bet they get in the NCAA tournament. I bet they're in the first four.
So you think that the NCAA is going to value name brands over the accomplishments that teams have had on the court this season?
I think with Kentucky and Duke potentially not being in the field, I think there's going to be some thought in some of these people's minds that if it's close and I'm choosing between Syracuse and Ole Miss, I'm going to take Syracuse all day, every day. How's that?
Yeah. I don't really see why Ole Miss is as close. So I don't know if that's necessarily the best example. Let me ask you this then. Where do you stand on teams like Syracuse versus someone like a Colorado State or a Boise State or Utah State, some of these teams from like the Mountain West, maybe a St. Louis, just kind of someone at that level. Just it's, I'm maybe even a Drake. Like, I want to see those teams get a chance, but I
don't get the Drake one. I don't understand the Drake one, Rob. I just don't think they've. And again, I hate to say it because ultimately you're penalizing Drake because they haven't played enough quality competition in the non-conference or in the conference, right? And I don't know who they had scheduled in the non-conference. I have no idea if they got games scrapped because of the pandemic early or because the season was pushed back a couple weeks. But looking at their body of work, it's hard to justify putting a team in that has like one quality win all year, right? Loyola. I mean, nothing else in the resume, do they? Nothing.
No, they don't. Especially when they've lost some of their best players. But I also think there's an argument to make that it's so tough. It's so tough on what to do in that spot because, you know, they're never going to get a chance to be able to have
the game you need to
be able to play in this situation. And it's through no fault of their own. But it's also like, you know, when you look at the resume of someone like a Drake and you compare it to someone from some of these bigger conferences, like it's just not, it's tough. It's really, really, really tough. How do you think the committee should value, like, where do you stand on them with teams that came out of the pause? Like, take St. Louis, for example, right? St. Louis dealt with all of the issues that they dealt with. When they came out, they had some, like, that's kind of when they ran into some of their issues and had some of their losses that don't look as good right now. So, like, how do you value that if you're the committee? Because the big thing is, like, everybody's got a sob story when it comes down to it, you know?
I don't know how you can. I don't think you can do it. Honestly, I don't think you can do it because, like you said, everybody's going to have something. Now, some teams don't have anything. I mean, there's some teams I would love to – I don't have the time, but I would love to reach out. Maybe I'll do it when the season's over. I bet you there's 50 teams in the country that didn't have a pause this year on their own, 50 Division I teams. That would be my guess. Everybody else probably had a pause. So I feel like, honestly – it's a roll of the dice. I don't think you can really utilize it if you're the committee because everybody's had something. Some have had – what do you say? Because St. Louis's was a month, then you value it where a two-week one, now that doesn't really count. So yeah, I don't know how you can do it.
It's hard to put that stuff into context because, look, everybody's going through it. Every single team in the country went through it. And everybody – you know, like even someone like a VCU, right? Like there've been certain injuries. They haven't had the kind of shutdown that St. Louis had, but they had certain injuries. Like, are you going to be able to take that into account? Like someone like UConn, you know, part of the reason why they struggled was because they were without James Bouknight. Part of the reason was because they had a bunch of different pauses. Part of the reason is that all those things happened to coincide so that when they finally came back, it was very clear they didn't have any legs. So being able to kind of balance all of that stuff, I don't know how you can do that fairly. So I think the most fair thing to do is just kind of say everybody went through something. So we're just going to evaluate your resume at face value. And I that's not the fairest way to do it. But, you know, nothing about this situation.
You just got to go with what you have in front of you. I think ultimately, if I'm the committee, I have to say if I'm a committee member, I got to go with the numbers and the results I have in front of me, period. And that's all I can do this year. And I think that's the way they're probably going to handle it for the most part. You know, again, James Bouknight, all right, you were without him for eight games. All right, those games still count. Like Ken Pom said that best when we had him on. Mm-hmm. He was like, in no other sport do we just throw away games when a team doesn't have their best player. They count in the standings. They count. Mm-hmm. Like in the NBA, if you're without Kevin Durant for all these games, you're the Brooklyn Nets, you still got to win the games. Or else you're not getting in the playoffs. So they all count. And I've kind of made that mistake in the past because I have kind of thought of it of, well, I'm not going to count those games as much. I'm going to utilize when they come back with Bouknight what they look like. But that's bullshit. Like, you got to count all the games. If he was injured, he was injured. To me, this year, it's just kind of what you have in front of you. And that's where, to me, I think Drake could be in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, so I think the interesting teams kind of on the wrong side of the bubble right now are probably Memphis, St. John's, Seton Hall, Syracuse, and I guess Ole Miss because they still have to play. And
Drake,
probably
and Drake.
Well, but I mean, they're not playing anymore. So what I'm saying is, like, of the teams that Utah are still State. Playing,
Utah they're State, not,
they're not playing anymore. So for the third time. So which of those teams do you think has the best chance to kind of end up on the right side of the bubble? I'll list them again for you: Duke, Memphis, St. John's, Seton Hall, Ole Miss, and Syracuse.
I mean, I think the Johnny's got a chance here, right? I mean, they got Seton Hall. It's kind of a knockout game, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the best game to me. It's the most important single game, probably of the next couple days. I mean, I guess you could say Duke Louisville tonight is super important for Duke. Because if Duke wins that game, what?
I was going to say Duke Louisville is just, you know, there's a little bit going on there as well.
Well, here's my take. If Duke wins that game, right now nobody has him in, like, their next eight out, okay? But if they beat Louisville, how far do they move into that next eight out? And then are they right there? Are they there with, you know, Syracuse and Memphis and Seton Hall and St. John's, to whereas maybe they need some help or they need one more win? I have said it all along. I think if Duke beats Louisville, and then what do they have? Do they have to beat Virginia? Who is it?
No, they get they would get Florida State in the next round.
All right. If they win those two games, I'm telling you, Duke's going to make the NCAA tournament. I don't think they have to win the ACC tournament. I've said that all along. You can make up so much ground by beating a couple of tournament teams this time of year, especially if your name is Duke. Again, they win those games, I'd be shocked. Now, again, I'm not saying they're going to win them both. They've lost twice to Louisville already. I don't know the answer to this question, but do you know a coach that has beaten Coach Mike Krzyzewski three times in a year?
Has anyone?
I don't know. It's a great question. I'm going to text Kenny Klein while we're on here. Find out. Because I don't know the answer. That's a crazy stat, right, if they beat him three times?
Yeah, that would be. All right, Jeff. Hold on. I'm working on one thing right here. Vamp real quick.
What are you doing? What are you doing over there? All right. So, yeah, we've got – I mean, listen, Syracuse is obviously a big game today. Noon against NC State. Duke, Louisville. Really, the ACC has the two most meaningful games. Duke, Louisville at 6:30.
Yep.
Duke's right, favorite 2.5 there.
Real quick, Jeff. I know that you kind of were hating on St. Louis a little bit, so I'm going to bring on someone, a special guest, to kind of argue his case to make sure that we get the Billikens into the NCAA tournament field. Travis Ford, head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. What's going on, man?
Look, there he is.
You need to let Jeff. Oh, we lost him. Is he coming back? We need to let Jeff know why St. Louis should be in the NCAA tournament right now, because he's hating right now, Travis.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting much love from Jeff. I don't know what's going on. Let's educate Jeff a little bit right now. You know, no different than most years, they take in consideration injuries during a year to a good team. Somebody loses a couple of games and they had their best player out. We were 7-1 with great wins against LSU, NC State, and so on. The only loss was at Minnesota, when they might have been the hottest team in the country at the time. And then we go on a 23-day no-practice pause, zero practices in 23 days. And, gosh, it starts on the very first day we're supposed to have our conference game. We're supposed to play Duquesne that day. I get a 7 a.m. call. We have two players that are positive. Well, over the next 7 days, we end up having 11 of our 15 players positive. Now, the biggest point out of all this is we only had 4 days to prepare for our next game. We had 34 days in between games, and we lose our first two games out of quarantine. 11 guys. That's like 11 injuries. I mean, we've all heard of some teams who've had four, five, maybe two. We had 11 players, and we lose our first two games. Those are our only two bad losses on our schedule, the only two. Two quad threes. Those were two quad three losses. The others were quad one and quad two. We've won 7 of our last 10 games. You know, so I think we've got a great, you know, I think our numbers are still good. If you add all the things together, Somebody was had a graphic out the other day. If you add, you know, the BP, you add the net, you add Ken Pom, you add all these together, we're at the top of all the bubble teams if you average them all together. That's with those two losses. You take those two losses out because of COVID, guys, I think we're solidly in, but I'm a little biased.
No. Here's my problem, Travis, and it's not with you. I just feel so bad for your team because I've told everybody this. If you didn't have that pause, I think you would have been a top 25 team all year long. Right. I do. I think I just don't know how the committee is going to try to discern between a team that had a month-long pause and a team that had a two-week pause. That's my only point is, like, how do you try to figure it out with all these teams around the country, Stanford not playing at home for all year, you guys having a month, Louisville having three pauses. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's tough. I agree. But I do think you have to take it all into consideration. They said that. They said it before the year started that they were going to take it in consideration. And again, I think you got to look at, we were 7-1, and then we, again, 11 players, 11 out of 15. It was a crazy time. And another thing, our protocols within our city and guidelines are the toughest I've heard of. I called every coach during that time, trying to figure out, well, how do we handle this? We had our guys who were positive were out 17 days and couldn't do anything. That's just the protocols here. Yeah. You're in for 10 and then you come out for 7 and you go to the doctor for 3 days. You get to ride the bike for 15 minutes. Excuse me. They do let you ride the bike for 15 minutes. But it was a crazy time. And is it a coincidence that we lose our first two games coming out?
No, we get it. Like, we totally get it. And like I said, listen, if it were up to me, I would put you in. I honestly would. I think you can beat teams.
Well, I need to get you on that committee real quick. I need to get you over there in the room in Indianapolis as fast as possible.
I just don't know if those committee members are – I don't know how they're going to look at it. Again.
I agree. As you can imagine, guys, I talked to everybody in the last 3 days that I could talk to and figure this thing out. Some believe that they'll absolutely do it. Some don't know. I think there has to be that conversation. If you're trying – and. Again, somebody put it to me this way. Would anybody want to play you guys right now?
I'm like, hell no.
No. I mean, you got to ask somebody else. To me, that says a lot. You know, our last game, St. Bonaventure's, if we'd won that game, probably been in, but we didn't. We didn't. They outplayed us. You know, Schmitty's done an amazing job over there. They were the number one seed, just outplayed us. But we'd still won 7 of our last 10, even with that game. After just losing those two games right out of COVID, I think it's a strong case. I really do. And I'm sure there's others, but I think it's a strong case for our guys to get in this tournament, hopefully.
I want you in the first four, Travis. I'm going Tuesday, next Tuesday to Indy. I want to see you in the first four because, honestly, I think you can make a run. I really do.
Well, if we're there, I'll make dinner and we'll positivity you're sending our way, we need every bit of it.
You got to make him pay. He doesn't do that enough.
I don't Travis knows that from his UMass days. Don't worry, he knows that I'm not reaching in my pocket, although I had a lot less money when Travis first came to UMass. I'm making a little bit more money, so that's good. Travis, what is it about your team that if you get in that you think you can? Because I really do. You're older. You're talented. Yeah. You got guys that can score. You got tough. You know what's on your team. Why can you win not only one game? I think you can win multiple games.
Yeah. Let me go back, Jeff, to last year when COVID hit. We were the hottest team in the country. A lot of people are, you know, we'd won like 7 of our last 8. We were really, really rolling, really playing well. Come back this year, we're 7-1. And we added the NC State game. In a 48-hour period, we were literally getting on a plane and going to go play Michigan. Nobody knows this. We were going to go play Michigan within less than 24 hours. We were talking to them in my office when I'm at, like, at 6 p.m. They said, well, I think we can play tomorrow night. We're like, we'll be there. We'll be there. That was in the middle of December, and it ended up not happening. But we've done everything we could. We were rolling right along. And we have some bet. We got Jordan Goodwin, double-double guy at 6'3". We got Javonte Perkins, which is an elite scorer who's announced he's coming back for another year. Hassan French, two-time All-Conference player, and we've added depth. You know, we've got some depth with Martin Linson inside, Jimmy Bell inside. We got Uri Collins, who's one of the leading assist guys in the country. And, you know, we've got some weapons. We've got some depth. We've got Gibson Jimerson, who wasn't, and Fred Thatch, who didn't play on our team last year because of injuries. They're back. We've got a veteran team physically. We can match up to anybody physically. We play three bigs that are as physical and as anybody in the country. We have a team that can compete in the NCAA tournament if given the chance. I think people would say that. And if you asked, I wouldn't want to play us at this point.
Mm-hmm. I agree. All right, Travis. Well, listen, thank you for coming on. Thank you for letting Goodman know about how good you guys are.
And, I like the surprise. Foster didn't tell me, Travis. This is a good morning surprise. I like this.
I like it.
Well, it's good.
I appreciate it, guys. I do. I was hoping to be asked really good questions instead of her dad here, but some really high-end journalistic questions. But I guess I just have to deal with Jeff. But as I told Jeff, she does a great job, an incredible job.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Hopefully, I'll be able to wave to you next week in the first four or something like that. We can't have dinner, just so you know. It's illegal.
That's true. I've got my mask here, though. I've got my
mask ready.
So.
All right. Good luck. And
thanks, guys.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Travis.
Appreciate it.
Not bad, right?
I like it. That was good. You gave me the hammer St. Louis right before you bring Travis Ford on. That was a low character move, Rob Doster.
Yeah, I know that I was setting it up just like that. Just have
brutal setup. Complete setup.
I'm way too proud of that. Woo!
That's gotta be a segment now. I think for the next few days, I think we gotta have a segment of like state your case.
Yeah, we can do it. I'm good. I love it. That was fun.
I mean, you think Craig Smith will get up this early?
I think my favorite thing is, and the people in the chat will appreciate this, is I swear every coach that I talk to with Jeff now, every single one of them says the same thing. And they say, it's nice that your daughter's getting into media, so there's finally one talented Goodman in this business. Everybody says it. Oh, man, it's hilarious. We should bring her on. She's probably got better bracket takes than you do.
Better info, right? Right? Yeah. Better info.
Could people like her? There you go. All right, let's talk about tonight's slate. I think the big game is obviously the one you mentioned before. It's 6:30 tonight. Duke is playing Louisville. Our partners at BetRivers have Duke as a 2.5-point favorite. The total there is 140.5. Like you mentioned, Louisville they've beaten them twice this year, right? I'm not making that up. I was busy trying to make sure that we could get Travis Ford on when you were saying it before. So
about Chris Mack beating K three times.
Yeah, they played twice already this year, right?
Here's what I've got back from Kenny Klein. He said he doesn't know the answer to that yet. He said he knows Maryland beat Duke three times in 1974 pre-Coach K, but we'll let you know when we have that. They're still working on it. Kenny Klein likes to get after a little bit. He might have had a few beers last night and sleep in it. The best SID in the business. Kenny, listen, the only SID that I know that has ever, after games, post-game, had beers sitting at your desk as you're writing. How about that? Yeah. It's elite level. That is elite level right there.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the beer while you write theory.
Well,
I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm not saying, like, get hammered, like, start ripping shots. Right. But having a beer, too, like, while I write, just kind of – Freeze the thoughts up, freeze the flow up a little bit.
I might just start bringing like a cooler to all the games in Indy next week.
Why not?
Roll in with like a laptop bag and a cooler to every game.
Yeah. Hey, look, do it, man. I support that. All right. So the line is 2.5. What do you like there? Anything?
Duke. I like Duke. I do. I like Duke. I just think that, they need it bad. And again, beating them three times. And we know Louisville's like, they're not great. They're just not. They're not deep. You know, Mark Williams could have his way in this one. Seriously, he could have his way without Malik Williams for Louisville. Mark Williams has been awesome. I really like him. I really think he's he's going to have a huge year next year. Just like Duke. I know their guards are young for the most part.
You know what my concern with that is? I think I kind of like Louisville again in this spot. And the reason why is that, okay, so the reason why we loved Virginia against Louisville was because when you don't have that roller, that rolling presence with Malik Williams, and you don't have shooters to create space, it's very difficult to get driving lanes against a Virginia pack line defense.
True. Yep.
Everything gets condensed. Everything gets collapsed. That pack line just soaks up all of the penetration angles that you're going to be able to get if you have with Carlick Jones and David Johnson. I don't think that Duke has the perimeter defenders to keep those guys out of the paint. So while you don't get a lot of you don't have the shooters, you don't have the rollers, I think that Carlick Jones and David Johnson will be able to get theirs and will be able to create offense in the half court. So that's I think I kind of like Duke here, but at the same time, it's you know
what I really like?
Duke has to win to get in. What do you like?
I love the last comment in the chat. Like, I think it might be the best comment we've had all year.
You get a free bowl of soup with that haircut? No, man. Like, you guys,
and he's got it. He was so proud of it.
You guys, well, it's also like I just kind of woke up like an hour ago and I haven't done anything to my hair. It's just, I'm tired, man. I was up until 3 a.m. last night, back up at 8 o'clock. It's the grind. It's March. I don't have time to do my hair. I don't have time to look pretty on the stream. Who am I don't need to impress Travis Ford. You know, I got him on here.
You think this haircut crushed it. Admit it. You were so happy you got that haircut.
Just look, you know what? Watch us on College Hoops Insiders. Watch us on Stadium. It's tonight at 6 p.m. And you'll see, like, I had it styled. I had a little bit of the spray in it. I had a little bit of hair on it. I was looking good yesterday, Duran. I can never remember. I don't know how to
pronounce it. I can't read it. My eyes suck so bad. I can't tell if it's
Darren or Duran. Darren or Duran. Providence fan. He's in the chat every once in a while. All right. Let's go over here. What else do you like tonight?
I mean, we got to talk Notre Dame, Carolina, I think. Only because it could be. I don't know if it's going to be, but it could be Mike Bray's last game. Could be. And against Carolina's favored by 6.5. Obviously, Notre Dame with the emotional game winner last night from Trey Wirtz to beat Wake Forest, to come back from I feel like they were down 15 all game, and they came back and ended up winning that one. Yeah, I don't know.
Line 6.5.
6.5, yeah. I don't love, you know, like, I think Mike Bray could be on a beach tomorrow drinking. I mean, he could honestly be on his favorite beach in Delaware. I don't know if it's Rehoboth. He loves Rehoboth Beach. So tomorrow, Mike Bray is probably sipping a cold one on Rehoboth Beach.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't understand why he loves Rehoboth so much. Dewey is the spot to go. Dewey, the Rusty Rudder, the Starboard, like, those are Mike Bray kind of places, if you know what I'm saying.
He's probably got a spot at Rehoboth. Don't you worry. I'm sure he's got a rundown, sleazy, dirty spot in Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, I trust. There's not really. Rehoboth is kind of like So Rehoboth is not the wild spot that you go. Dewey's where, like, the wild rundown, like, let's get after it. We're gonna black out spot. Bethany Beach is like the family oriented. Like, we got a nice little boardwalk with games and kind of nice restaurants, all that kind of stuff. Rehoboth is a little bit different. All right, so the North Carolina Notre Dame game. I think I like North Carolina there, just because their size can kind of wear everybody down.
I would agree. All right, what else do we got today that's of note that you like? I kind of like I like Xavier. That might be my favorite bet of the day. Xavier given 6.5 against Butler. Butler without Aaron Thompson in the first round.
Xavier's got to win.
Has to win. Has to win and has to, like, win emphatically. I could see this being an ugly one.
What about Loyola Maryland tonight against Army getting points?
Bandwagon? I kind of like that because Loyola, remember, Army, the reason that Army got off to good, you know, they played early. They were the only one. Army and Navy played early. every other Patriot League team didn't play till what? Early January. So, mm-hmm. yeah, and Loyola's got talent, man. They got a couple of international guys that can really hoop. But, yeah, I kind of like it. I mean, so I like
the Loyola money line. I also like the Siena money line tonight.
I was going to ask you that. All right, so what's the spread I own to Siena?
So Loyola's getting 2 points, and that money line is plus 112. I should have mentioned that at first. Yep. Siena's getting a point and a half. The money line is plus 104. I think I like Siena there.
How can you not like – I mean, again, I get it's Rick Pitino. Mm-hmm. I get it's Rick Pitino versus Carm is not like your traditional coaching matchup where you usually go with Carm. But Siena's also got way more talent. Way more talent. Both teams have been through plenty this year in terms of pauses and whatnot. And neither team's played a ton of games, but Siena's got Jalen Pickett. Last I checked, he's on the court. Rick Pitino is not. So I'm going to take Siena as well.
Yeah, I like Siena there. Ionis played, what, like 9 games all season long?
Yes, yes.
At least they'll have fresh legs, I guess. It's such a weird slate. I don't really like anything else. There's two other lines that just kind of stood out to me that I think we need to mention.
Yeah.
Oklahoma only laying 11.5 against Iowa State. I know Oklahoma's lost 4 in a row, and Iowa State's going to have Rasir Bolton tonight. But what's Iowa State playing for? Like, they didn't win a game in conference.
Steve Prohm's job, I guess. Steve Prohm's job.
Do the players on the roster care about?
No, probably not.
I don't know.
They probably have no idea. What's the Penn State Nebraska's line?
Let me find that. The other, actually, before we do that, the other one that I thought was interesting was that Minnesota is getting 2.5 points. They are 2.5 point dogs.
Amazing.
With Northwestern.
You still can't take them. Like, that's the sad part. If you had told me that 2 months ago, I might have bet my entire house on it. Like, seriously. Well, maybe not 2 months ago, because that might have been at the point when Northwestern ran off 3 in a row or shortly thereafter. But maybe 5 weeks ago. You told me that 5 weeks ago when Liam Robbins was healthy and Minnesota hadn't gone through their complete meltdown. You might have put your house on that one.
Yeah.
I'm not betting on my boy Stackhouse, Kevin. I never bet on my boy Stackhouse.
Adam actually mentioned an interesting line. Idaho is one of the worst teams in Division I. Montana is laying 14 points against them. You like that?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, because I think Travis Secure also he's in the mix a little bit at Penn State. I don't think he gets it, but I think you're super motivated when you know you're close to getting a high major job. And you got people watching, and if they can somehow win their conference tournament, yeah, I think you're super motivated. So, yeah, I like that. I like Montana. Give them 14.
All right. I think that's all I got tonight. It's a weird slate. I forgot. I love this time of year because you get basketball all day, but I forgot just how uninspiring a lot of the games are on the Wednesdays.
Well, today's a bad day, honestly.
The Wednesday is always just kind of like, you get so fired up for it, and it's just like, oh, I have to watch Syracuse and NC State play, and that's the second best game of the day is Syracuse and NC State. Sorry, Cuse fans, but
it's not pretty. Penn State's favored by 6.5, by the way, against Nebraska. You know, the problem with a day like today is we've been doing this all year. So it's like you feel like I'm going to end up taking, half the games on the board just because – it's conference tournament, and you have to. You got to get geared up for really the next few days. And tomorrow's when it starts. Tomorrow's when we'll have a lot of good games that mean something. But ultimately, Rob, listen, most of the best games are going to be some of the mid-major, finals, because we don't have a lot of bubble teams. You got like 8 bubble teams that are fighting for like 3 or 4 spots. And we just talked about it. Like, Syracuse, you got Seton Hall and St. John's, you got maybe Duke, but like the SEC tournament will give us more because of Kentucky. Everybody's going to watch Kentucky. Everybody's going to watch Kentucky in that, hoping but at least give us some life. And that's what, honestly, I kind of want Duke to win tonight, because I think it sets up a great game against Florida State when everybody can talk about, can Coach K get into the NCAA tournament?
You see what I'm doing right now?
I'm texting Mac.
Jeff Goodman, quote, I want Duke to win tonight.
That's the motivation. I think it's better for college basketball.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. It's better for college basketball if you lose. That's a direct quote from Goodman.
Very true.
Good job. We'll see you again tomorrow morning.
You got me with a good surprise today. Good job, Rob.
Got you.